appropriately with prayer first. And then I'll tell you how we are going to approach this subject, this how this retreat. And then we proceed. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you would help us in our desire to learn how to pray as we ought. And we confess that we don't know how to pray very well. And very often our prayers are riddled with all kinds of doubts. And we pray that you will help us at this retreat to discover how we can learn lessons deep and yet very personal, so that we will be able to pray so very much more. We pray for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I am going to take up the goals with you, and I'm going to go through point by point and help us all to perhaps approach this retreat in as practical, in as personal way as possible, rather than to see it in a sermonic style. Okay, so it would be very much like a Bible study, as it were. But I thought it would be good to talk about some of the goals that I have set out for us to consider, for us to look at, and then we ask ourselves whether we can identify with them, whether you want to add on to those things. I'm sure you probably want to, you may have some other things you might want to add on. But one approach towards this retreat is to talk about what Moses learned about prayer. And in the same manner, I want to say this to you, prayer is something you learn through practice, through experience. There is no other way to learn how to pray. Okay? Now, I want to suggest that there is a difference between learning and God teaching. And a lot of people assume that if they were to pray, they have already learned. There is a difference between what God wants to teach you and what you think you have learned. And they are not the same. Okay, consider some of these things along the way. And I want to suggest that God taught Moses many lessons, how and what. And I hope we will discuss this along the way. One of the goals I am hoping we will be able to reach is that you will have and you will begin to have a deepening prayer life. I use the word deepening rather than the word deep because it can be quite confusing. We often assume that we are okay. So I prefer the word deepening to suggest that we can never be deep enough and then we stop. I want to suggest also that prayer is such that there is always a next level. There will always be a next level. Whatever that level you have arrived at, there is a next level. And I think this is something we want to think about and to thank God for. I want to suggest also that we all make mistakes in prayer. And we must learn from those mistakes. And I think that God allows us to make mistakes. And those mistakes in prayer made are great opportunities for us to learn vital lessons that we need to pray about. hopefully along the way, you will have a deepening sense of purpose. Many people do not pray with any understanding of purpose in prayer. So if I'm praying about this, what am I praying for? What's my purpose? And we don't understand purpose very well, indeed. And then, of course, another part of it, what will motivate you to pray? This morning, I felt a great need to pray very much. I must tell you that if you really want to find motivation to pray, you might actually end up losing sleep. But if you're not afraid to lose sleep so that you can allow the motivation to come and it will make you pray, you would learn valuable lessons in prayer. And so this morning I was up at 3:30 instead of 4:30 because I needed to pray about certain matters, one of which is the YG retreat. Okay, so I'm going to share with you these seven things here. We can camp here and go ahead and raise questions. I think it would be wonderful if we can look at these questions and say, okay, I want to ask some of these questions. Can I ask questions? The answer would be yes. Go ahead, ask questions. And I think that these seven goals are very rich and very deep in themselves. And if you find that you can reach one of them or two of them, I want to suggest to you that you are doing well. I broaden out this to seven aspects because I think that they are necessary things to look at. And I don't see them as separate. I think they're all interrelated. Okay, so it is not a matter of just saying prayers. It is not a question of just itemizing prayers either. It's just really bringing to the Lord things that we need to learn. And because it is at this level of leadership retreat level, of course I am raising up the bar and say we must learn how to pray. Alright, questions you're asking. Anytime you feel you want to raise questions, raise your hand, ask for a mic and we'll hear you. Anytime. Okay? If not, I will move on. And you think that you have learned when you haven't, then you will go away missing a lot. So I want to encourage you to ask, dare to ask. Don't be afraid of being embarrassed. Well, you know, I ask this question, I feel embarrassed. Don't be. Because, like I said, there are mistakes which we make. It is wiser to say, I made this mistake and I'm learning from it, than to assume that you are right and then you are none the wiser at the end of the day. That is something that we need to look at very carefully. Okay, we move into this whole idea. I work with this idea of prayer is simply, you know, the simple way. You read Bible, God talks to you. You pray, you talk to God. That's it. Sure, it would be wonderful if you are at kindergarten level. Sure. But when you want to become a prayer leader, when you become an intercessor, that is so basic. It doesn't go very far. What's the purpose in that? None. Where is the power in that? None. Unfortunately, these are lessons we learn from young and they've stuck with us. And we've never made any progress further. And so our prayer life get stuck at a certain level, it hasn't gone further. And it is simply talking to God. Even if you want to talk to God, what's the purpose? Say you want to talk to me. Okay, do you call me, hello pastor? I say, hello. Can I talk to you? Sure. Talk. Oh, I just want to call you. That's fine. So you call me. I'm online now. What can I do for you? Oh no, I just want to talk to you. Are you alright? Yeah, I'm fine. Bye. What kind of conversation is that? But I fear very much that sometimes we are pretty aimless. Worse, we are clueless as to what praying is all about. And so the idea, a working definition with, okay, let's talk to God, may just not be sufficient. Okay, well then we go on to the next level. Okay, prayer is making our request known to God. Which is true. We move on to the next level, where Paul tells us, let your request be made known to God. Well, that's fine. So I want to make this request known to God, and I do. Okay, what did I do next? What do I do next? Right? And it's something that we need to think about very carefully, because after we have made known a request to God, and we don't know what we're saying, what we are doing, then I'm afraid that a lot of these things here may be nice Bible words. You've memorized Bible, good Bible verses, but you really don't know what to do with prayer at the end of the day. And so we go into supplication. Okay, we supplicate and we plead, God, please help me. Please help me, you know, tomorrow my exam's coming and I haven't studied, please help me. Well, may the Lord have mercy. That's it. If you think that God is going to give you the questions and the answers, you can forget it, because that's not going to happen. So when people ask me, Pastor, my exam is not coming out tomorrow, please pray for me. I always ask them, what do you want me to pray about? You want me to ask God to change the grades? It's not going to happen. It really is not going to happen. So it's a question of what do we mean when we say we make our requests and our supplications known to God? And then how do we relate prayer to actual ministry and to life? Okay, I mean, this is something that's very, very important. We all pray in our church. We make it a practice, make it a point to pray about everything, and then to wait upon the Lord to see how He will respond. And He does. But you've got to know what you are doing. Okay? All right, we're still warming up. Well, let's try and see. Supposing you start praying, and the prayers, instead of prayers, you see setbacks. How do we pray then? I mean, how do we pray then if setbacks come? And it seems as if the more you pray, the more the problems come. So some people say, in that case, don't pray. If I don't pray, then the problems won't come. I don't know why we think that way, but some people actually think that that's the way to go. So don't pray. Then if you don't pray, you find discouragement setting in. And then doubts come, and then you are on the brink of despair, and you say, what on earth is this all about? What is this thing called prayer? And I think it's important for us to look at it very, very carefully, because to me, these are pretty basic levels. And we've got to learn how to overcome these lessons. And if we don't, then I'm afraid that whatever we're going to work on won't go very far. All right, let's take a look at the book of Exodus for a while, since we are looking at it in chapter 5. Okay, and then we read over in chapter 5, and then you see how Moses prayed and how he must have learned this is the way not to pray. 5:22. Let's take a look. Okay, and so Moses, the people came to him and they were very angry with Moses, because after he spoke to the Pharaoh increased their workload and made life even more miserable. So in verse 22 we read, "So Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it you have sent me?'" Now, a lot of us, we may not want to say that you blame God, but deep down inside us, we do blame God. I still remember a young boy many, many years ago, and he didn't do well for his O level. He couldn't go to JC. He couldn't go to poly. He was in limbo. So he said to God, "Why couldn't you have failed me or passed me? How come I cannot go to JC, I cannot go to poly, and I'm stuck? You know what, God? I blame you, and I'm not going to church ever again." And he didn't. That's what happens. We blame God. You know, we all blame God for our exam results. How come? God didn't sit for the exam. You did. He didn't prepare for the exam. You did. And he gets blamed. We all tend to blame people. And I don't think that we want to end up blaming God. But it's a real problem. It's hard to be God, you know. You get blamed all the time. We often think that where we are, it's all God's fault. You know, God could have done something to prevent this. Why didn't he prevent this? Why didn't he make it better? How come I went through so much trouble? Well, we learn along the way that it's not about God. It's no point blaming God. So when you blame God, what's his answer? Nothing. So you blame harder. What do you get? Nothing. No, that's not a way to go. So we learn, you see. Remember, God's teaching. And sometimes when he doesn't answer, that's the answer. That's not a way to go. Blaming God. Okay, 2. Querying God. Why? Why you send me? Why is it you have sent me? "Since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people." Wow, querying. Why? Why you send me? It's really, really hard. But when we start praying like that, and we think that we have this is a good approach, well, we're going to end up with a lot of problems. And then he went on further. You see, notice, it gets worse. It gets lower, and then he says, okay, anyway, since I came to Pharaoh, you have not delivered your people at all. What do you expect God to do? Okay, Pharaoh, shrink size. What do you want God to do? We often imagine that God must do things as we tell him to. And I think we really missed the point. And then, of course, if you look chapter 6 and verse 30, you will see this very, very clearly, where he said, God, Moses said before the Lord, "Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. How shall Pharaoh heed me?" Whine, whine, whine. And that's what happens. And then we all get head up, and we get upset, we get angry with everything under the sun, including God, although it's not under the sun. Well, there we go. And then our focus in prayer is absolutely off base. We missed the point. Now, I don't know whether you identify yourself with Moses at this point of time, but this is Moses learning about prayer 101. Course 101. This is introduction. How not to pray. You catch yourself this way. You know, we just feel that we must complain. You know, Singaporean fat prayers. And we just go that way. And I'm sorry, this is not what it is. Alright, any questions you want to ask? Is this... do we identify with Moses yet? Now you get to understand where he's coming from, you see. I'm taking him at when he was first learning about prayer. This same man will emerge a very different man of prayer later. But we all start about here. Why? And there are no very, very few answers to all our whys. And if he doesn't want to reply to us, we won't understand him either. So we want to ask ourselves how this works out. Okay? Alright, let's take a look at answers. Let's take a look at answers. Some answers. Then the Lord said to Moses, okay, now he answers. Now I want to say this to you so that we understand where we are coming from at this point of time. So when we say these are some answers, do not expect that God is going to, okay, tonight you God is going to speak to you. And I don't mean that. What I mean is that as we look at how God answered Moses, there are vital lessons to learn, and we draw the principles correctly. Okay? So then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. With a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land." Okay, this part of it. He reiterates what he said he will do. And then in chapter 6 and verse 2, "And God spoke to Moses and said to him." Now, one of the important phrases that you want to learn as you learn to pray is this phrase where the Lord says, "I am the Lord." It is one of the most profound things to understand as you enter into prayer. Where God's presence, when he says, "I am the Lord." And that phrase itself is actually meant to be enough for a lot of things. Okay? Why? All the whys. "I am the Lord." And it's very important for us to understand what this means. A lot of us don't know how to practice this idea of "I am the Lord." You know, you should pray, and as you enter into prayer, sense the Lord saying, "I am the Lord." And a lot of us don't know how to see this. Let me share with you a few things that we want to look at. Okay, three things. First, he said, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob as God Almighty. Okay? But by my name, Lord. This is something. By my name, Lord, I was not known to them. And so he talks about how he appeared to the patriarchs, chapter 6 and verse 4. And he talks about how his covenant was mentioned, was established with them, and how the land promised Canaan would be there. I am the Lord. What does that mean? How do you practice this? See, a lot of us, when we, let's say that we come to pray to God, and we are very tired, and we pray. Stop, don't pray. You don't know practice, you don't know how to practice, I am the Lord. We begin with who He is, not who we are. We begin with what He has said, not all kinds of Bible promises that we come up with. I am the Lord. You know what? I am the Lord with reference to Abraham for many years. Been Lord to Isaac all his life too. Been there with Jacob all his life too. You understand what I'm saying? I am the Lord. If ever there is anything that should bring us a greater sense of awareness, consciousness of the greatness of God, the phrase, I am the Lord, should be enough. You know, it brings you back to the greatness of God. It brings you back to the majesty of God, to the might of God, to the person of God, to the historicity of God. I am the Lord. To the patriarchs, to His covenant, to the promised land. He is a God who never forgets any of these things. He ever was God. So when Moses says, how come you didn't do this? Since I came, nothing has been done. The first thing about I am the Lord is already missing. Wrong. This is what I mean by mistakes in prayer. Wrong. And if you begin on the wrong foot, no matter what else you do, you are wrong. Practice this. I am the Lord. But you say, well, that's new. Well, this is exactly what God was trying to say to Moses too. By this term, I am the Lord, I was not known. To Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, I revealed my name as God Almighty. I am now going to reveal myself to you. And this is very, very important. Okay, here is Moses. This is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, God Almighty. What does the word God Almighty mean to you? To them, the moment God Almighty's name is used, it conjures up many things. But this is children of Israel. God Almighty conjures up nothing. So when we pray and God's name conjures up nothing, you pray vacuum. So God said, I am the Lord, And by this name I am going to make myself known to Israel. When we pray to God, it must be in the context of the way God would reveal Himself to us afresh. What is this God like? Who hears and answers prayer? What is this God like? You got to know what it means when He says, "I am the Lord." What worked as a title for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob may not work for this new generation of people. What are some of Paul's favorite titles for God? Do you know? Was it God Almighty? No. Was it Lord? No. What's yours? And a lot of us haven't figured out that out yet. If you really want to have a meaningful relationship with God in prayer, discover how you are going to relate to Him. And it will be different a lot of times to different people. So, but if you have a generic idea of God, that generic idea of God may not be what is needed. Remember, this means the word generic. The idea of God is generic. So He is God Almighty to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. But this present generation of Israelites do not know Him in the same personal way. To Abraham, He was God Almighty, possessor of heaven and earth. None of them knew a God in that manner. So no point just simply saying, like the seven sons of Sceva, and the demon replied, "Hey, Jesus I know, Paul I know, who are you?" Don't just bandy God's name. In prayer, what is the name that would mean the most to you? You must begin somewhere. What is that name of God to you? Remember what Moses said? If they were to ask me, "What is His name? What shall I say?" And God said, "Tell them, I am have sent you." What? Well, what does that mean? And God, I am that I am. Which is as clear as mud. What does that mean? When you want to begin to pray, begin somewhere. Begin with, what do you begin with? One of Paul's favorite titles for God is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians. Even when he prays, Ephesians 3:14, he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees." to the Father. And to him, that idea, a Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is such a great concept. It is not an Old Testament terminology. It is an entirely New Testament terminology. So you will not find this in the Old. For Paul, it has to do with who God is. And he is most important to him. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him he will bow his knees always. What is God to you? And if you are not clear who this God is, and you just pray, "Dear God, you might not find your prayer very, very meaningful. And so God said, "Moses, I am going to introduce myself in a fresh, new way to Israel. And I am going to be Lord to them." And so this term L-O-R-D in capitals is where you use the word Yahweh, or sometimes the word Jehovah, or sometimes the word Yah. Now it's called a tetragrammaton, four letters, which the Jews never pronounce. The Chinese text always pronounces it. Always translated as Jehovah, Jehovah, Jehovah. And they do not fully comprehend what they are doing. The Jews have always preserved this. And so the King James and the New King James writers have always respected the Jewish way of relating to God. And so every time you see the word, they just simply said, "Lord." This is their highest regard for God. Till today, you know, Orthodox Jews will write God's name . They will say, and what? How do they call him? They call him Hashem, the name. That's it. Till today, they dare not call God's name. And so when they want to speak about God, he is simply called the name. Dare not to refer to him. In the Israel constitution, reference to God is simply, he is called the rock of Israel. That's it. They will not name him till today. Right? So you have to ask yourself, what is it? This Abraham prayed to God with a definite idea of who God is. He is God Almighty. And so in Genesis 18, he prayed. With great consciousness, he speaks to the Almighty. So he says, please, 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, please let my Lord not get angry. That was how he prayed. But that was not how God wanted Israel to pray. Because if we mechanically follow a certain way of praying, we might well miss the point of it all. Okay, I hope you understand what I'm trying to get at, because it is vital that we have this idea here. So we see the word, "I am the Lord," 6:2. Then he says, "I am the Lord," 6:6. Then he says, "I am the Lord," 6:7. And then he says, "I am the Lord," 6:8. I want to suggest to you that God does not repeat Himself for nothing. Not because He's just very repetitive. We are all repetitive, but not God. He's trying to establish something. The children of Israel must learn this lesson first. Now, what about the New Testament? Paul's phrase was not almighty, nor even this. And so, he came up with this special phrase that meant a lot to him theologically. But whenever we come to God, we often are not prepared in our mind to speak to God properly. Because we have not conceived of God properly. We have not understood God properly. We have not entered into His presence properly. And we miss the point. We really do. Okay, so how do we bring in? So the Lord said He is going to do this. He said, I have heard the groaning of Israel. He said, I have remembered my covenant. Said, I will bring them out. I will rescue them. I will redeem them. I will take Israel as my people. And so on and so forth. What is this God? Who is this God to you as you pray to Him? I hope you understand what I'm saying when I'm saying the Lord says, I am the Lord. There are a number of lessons you want to look at very carefully. There is great significance here. Okay, so let me highlight some of these things here, then you raise questions along the way. First, you cannot come to God and expect to honor Him if you have no knowledge of God. A lack of knowledge of God does not in any way please God, is not in any way something to be proud about. Now, you have to keep working to understand what it means. But the significance, when He says, I am the Lord, we have to think about what He was as He revealed Himself historically and who He is currently. Most of us just come to God, we feel very burdened and we unburden our hearts and all that. Okay, amen. And you feel better. You may feel better. It doesn't mean your prayer is going to get answered. Do you really want to know how to pray? Then understand your knowledge of God is a starting point. And I mean knowledge of God. There is a consciousness of God here that must be brought into the picture. Unfortunately, we don't have that. Okay? Let me bring up this word consciousness. Consciousness, I think, of three things. One, when people pray, they are more conscious of what they want to say to God, bring the items to God, than of God Himself. So there is little consciousness. Or there is limited consciousness. You know this term ADHD. I think almost every single Christian suffers from spiritual ADHD. Dear God, I want to pray. And then something comes. Oh yeah, I've got to attend to that one. It's gone. Attention span. Miserably little. Really. Unfortunately. Well, we have to ask ourselves what the problem is. And then, of course, the desired awareness is that of we are conscious of who God is. For Elijah, the God who answers by fire, let him be God. And God answered by fire. What is God to you? The knowledge must lead to consciousness. And then, of course, the question of lordship is there. Do we actually understand what it means when we say Lord? When we pray and say, Lord, I am bringing this to you, do I actually acknowledge His Lordship or don't I? I think this is a thing that we really want to appreciate. Do I appreciate what it means for Him to be Lord? Can I speak of a renewed relationship between Lord, Master, and Servant? I think of David's prayer in particular, when he tells Nathan, you know, God's house live in tents, I live in nice cedar and sealed houses and things like that. I want to build God a house. And Nathan said, yeah, good, go ahead, do whatever's in your heart. God tells Nathan, hello, did I say that? Or did you say that? Go and tell my servant David. My servant. You got that right? Yeah, the word servant stands out. And then David replies, Your servant. Many of us do not know how to practice lordship. But I know we all pray lying in bed. Dear God, you've got mates at home, they do this to you? Really? I would be surprised. Nobody does that. Why is it that we do that? We don't understand lordship, do we? I'm sure you understand. Yeah? Give me which book, which chapter, which verse you can cite. I'm sure you understand. Lordship. I am the Lord. This is your regard for God? And He's supposed to regard your prayer? Is He? No wonder our prayers are not answered. You don't pray like this. We said we are going to upgrade AVA. Okay. First level, we're going to work on the video. 160,000. Everybody's worried about today's climate. Greece, referendum. Oh no, referendum. And what are you talking about? What are you doing? Everybody is worried. You notice that we only mentioned this in the bulletin 2 or 3 times. What about the rest of the time, rest of the week? We pray. Will God hear? Did you pray? If I look you into your face, would you tell me you prayed? And you tell me, God will hear that prayer, your prayer. Alright, hands up. Who prayed for the 160,000 and God heard your prayer? I'd like to congratulate you. Well, we have that answer. The funds came in. That's what praying is. But you do not lie down in it. Dear God, it would be nice to 160,000, you know. And if you were to pray like this, you can be very sure we're going to buy bits and pieces of wire here and there to fix things up. It's not going to happen. God has to move hearts. And people are not going to be, we're not going to draw strong arm tactics on anyone. And the only way to pray is to know what it means for Him to be truly Lord. Was this not the way we prayed when we asked the Lord for the 16 million? And why do we pray with little or no faith for the 160,000? See, you're not responsible for the 160,000, so you do not know what it is to pray like that. But you have to be responsible to understand what it means. The Lord writes on your prayer. The Lord writes on how you approach God in prayer. Make sense to you? It is vital that we understand this. So when the Lord said, I am the Lord, He has got things that you want, He wants you to know, wants you to learn. When you pray, do you see this? Do you see your hope revived somewhere, somehow? Do you see your faith renewed even as you pray? For many people, it's just itemizing. Lord, please bless. Please bless. Amen. And you must not. Oh yeah, I forgot to say in Jesus' name. Amen. So now I've used in Jesus' name. Wow, powerful. You kidding me? That's prayer. You're still in kindy. It's not what praying is. So God has to teach Moses from scratch. Now, as you pray, as you think about what it means when He says, I am the Lord, you know, when I was a kid, I saw the Ten Commandments. The best part, like, was not the crossing of the Red Sea. The best part was when God gave to Moses the Ten Commandments, and He says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And a fire came. That was not only on the stone, that was on my mind, emblazoned. Till today, I cannot get that out of my mind. Wow, I look at it and I, you know, whatever was inside me was stirred. The sense of hope, the sense of faith, the sense of trust. Then you know you are on the right plane. Because if we are praying, your hope is not involved, your faith is not touched, there is no trust there. Are you praying? Or are you just talking? Talking in your sleep. I understand that. Prayer is not talking in your sleep. Prayer is not sleepy talk. Prayer is not pillow talk. You come before the Lord. God Almighty, Lord, I am. This is Moses. Learn this all over again. How much of historicity and current understanding do we have of God? So when you pray, is there a spurring of greater effort? Now, I must pray better. Now, I want to say this about this praying in bed stuff, because I was quite good at that. All night prayer, we call it, you know? You begin in the night and say, oh, I met in the morning. That's called all night prayer. And they are as good as a chicken with two heads. One on each side. And you have no idea where we want to go. It's useless. I mean, seriously. We want to ask ourselves what it really, really means. Every time I pray, I want to know God better. Every time I pray, I want to see how God would fulfill. Every time I pray, I want to stand in greater awe of God. Every time I pray, I want to be humbled in spirit. And I've said a lot of stuff this evening. And if you tell me you understand everything I say, I will ask the Lord to forgive you. Because you don't. Am I making sense to you? Come on, ask questions. Jane.
Pastor, on one hand you speak about the Lord Almighty. On the other hand, Paul writes about how he's the Father and we are children of God.
Yeah.
So how do you reconcile a master-servant relationship with a father's child relationship?
Multiple. You're looking at multiple. What I'm trying to say here is that you are looking at multiple understanding. Okay? Let us say that I want to develop a relationship with God. I build it on first knowledge. Right? And my knowledge comes from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so on and so forth. But I realize that I'm neither this, or the other. But at least I have this knowledge of God. For Paul, being Jew, theologian, to him, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ was critically important because he was forever trying to reach out to his Jewish brothers. It meant a lot to him. But this was one of the names of God. So when he writes formally, blessed be the God and Father, it's a formal cry, as it were, a formal pronouncement using the full name as he understood God. But there were other things. When he wrote to comfort the Corinthians, he introduced God as the God of all comfort. There we go. So he was God of all comfort. He said, God of all comfort comforted me. There are some people who need to discover God as the God of all comfort. I don't know whether that explains this to you. My own, over the years, my whole approach to God in prayer today, compared to years ago. Every morning, I begin with Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Then I would go through what he's prayed for every single morning. This morning, a little earlier than usual. For this reason, I bow. What's your reason for praying this morning? What's your reason? Many of us pray without purpose, without reason. It is perfunctory. That is not a very useful activity whatsoever. But that's something that you want to appreciate. More and more, I appreciate what Jesus did when he fell on his face and on his knees to pray. literally. To me, once upon a time, I did not understand that. But growing with greater concern, I begin each day, literally. For this reason, I bow my knees. The very idea of coming to God brings me to my knees. As it should. I cannot tell you how it happens, why it happens, but the consciousness of the greatness of God brings me down to the only place I think is fitting. On your knees. And on my knees, I do not sleep. On my knees, I never bow to anybody. I must tell you this. I would never bow my knee to anyone. I have never. The only person I will bow my knees to would be to the Lord. And to me, that's significant. So I make this significance. So if you ask me what is my favorite portion to pray, it will be that. But it's not the only portion. My voice shall hear in the morning. In Psalm 3, or Psalm 5, verse 3. In the morning, I will lift up my voice and I will look up. I will pray. Depending upon what it is. You see, the motivations will come. Lots of things that you must understand. It's not a straightforward, okay, how shall we pray? Tell us how to pray. That's it. It's not. I wish it is, but it is not. So this relationship, before you can even speak of a relationship, really define that relationship. Is there a relationship in the first place? And if so, what is that relationship? To me, I like to stand in awe of who God is. I like what God said to Sarah. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And then, you know, it is wonderful to be able to have a greater sense of awe for who God is and who we are. And that He even hears prayer. That is such an awesome concept. Moses had to learn this. This whining approach, this why approach, you know, I came to you, why you sent me? That doesn't work. You can pray, but that doesn't work. Nothing's going to come out of it. To me, those questions are totally an absolute waste of time. But you may have to go through it, you know, in order to understand that it's not going to go anywhere. Right? Questions wish to raise up? Yeah, go ahead, Ava.
My question is about the despairing prayers of Moses. See, if like, they say there are certain things that's happening in your life that you really don't understand why it's happening,
right.
And you earnestly want to pray to the Lord, ask Him to reveal, and you ask why. Is it considered whining?
What if the answer is, I am the Lord? How does that affect your prayer? Let me pretend to be the Lord. You come to me. Why? And I say to Yvette, I am the Lord. Any impact on you? Yeah, but I am the Lord. Yeah, you know, but I am the Lord. Again, four times, I am the Lord, I am the Lord. In Leviticus 19, this phrase, I am the Lord, will be repeated a dozen times over. We don't understand. He is the Lord. Really? Yes. See, it's this lack of understanding. We often come to God because whatever burdens our heart, we talk to God. And we imagine that okay, you know, God, you know, let me tell you your job. You know, if you were to answer like that, you answer like that, everything will work out. Why don't you be God? Hey, Bacon, take over. The world will die because you are a God. No. We can't be. We don't know how to be. We don't even know where to start. And so he says to us, I am the Lord. We begin here. One of my favorite phrases, one of my favorite titles, is just simply Lord. Not in the Exodus 6 Lordship, as in L-O-R-D. For that is truly Israel's name. But simply Lord, with reference to His Lordship. Not in spelling. But first thing I do and practice when I practice Lordship is to practice submission. Okay? Practice submission. Lord, I'm just going to leave this before you. And that helps a lot. I don't strive. I don't look for a lot of things. I just want to be there. You know, there are lots of things you want to pray for. If you're not asking questions, let me challenge you to pray in your own life in many ways. Okay? Seriously. To Adrian, to Min-Yi, as you prepare for parenthood, ask for a consciousness of who God is, His purpose in your life in giving to you a baby. Just build this around who God is. That's how to pray. I mean, there are lots of things that we need to think about very, very carefully. Right? Now, I'm trying to apply this into your own life personally. You know, I look at people with prostate cancer. Sometimes you live so long with it, you think it's okay. It's in remission. It's never going to bother you again. That's not true. Because it has just recurred in a couple of people I know. And it's going to be a battle. It's just a little reminder. It's not over. It's not over. I have to ask myself, at my age, at my stage in my life, I have to ask myself how I want to order my life. What are the changes I need to make in my life? Because I cannot live indefinitely along these lines. So I must bring the changes I need to make in my life and ministry before God. And then waits upon the Lord. It's different when you are young and starting up. It's different again when you are no longer young and you are not starting out. But in all things, we exercise, we pray. When the Lord says, I want to teach you this phrase. If tonight, if nothing else, you learn this phrase, I am the Lord, and understand it. all the things you want to think about in prayer. You know, of course, the greater the knowledge, the greater will be the understanding too. Because as you pray, "I am the Lord," you'll be surprised how calming the Lord's presence is. You'll be surprised how the heart can be still. You'll be surprised how the faith can be lifted up. You'll be surprised at the energy and strength that God can give too. Because we don't know how to practice "I am the Lord." After we pray, we are no different. After we pray, we go back to worrying. This was just a worry break. That's it. So prayer is a worry break. So I go back to worrying again. If prayer is a worry break, are we praying? Do we even understand what it is to pray? On the other hand, there are people, "Okay, God, I leave everything to you, okay, and that's it." Really? That's it? We live in very dangerous times. And if we are not praying about these dangerous times we are living in, then we do not understand the times we are living in. How do we see life? How do we approach life? I think it's vital that we understand and appreciate this. Otherwise, we really would disappoint. Questions you want to raise up? Please raise them. I really hope that you will be okay. It will really, really help you if you can understand this. Yeah. Anybody else?
Hello, Pastor.
Yeah.
I got a question, but it's like, Kia. Because you started out by saying about blaming God.
Yeah.
So, and you quoted an example about exams and how if somebody doesn't study, then when we pray to ask God, then we only have ourselves to blame that we didn't prepare ourselves well enough. So, but, I mean, if we cannot blame God, then how can we thank God? You know what I mean? Like,
no,
I don't know how to...
I can thank God without blaming God.
As in, okay. Like, okay, for example, right, let's just take the exam example.
Right.
Okay, then if I never study, then I blame God.
Yeah.
God, why didn't I get all the results that I want to?
Yes.
But if I studied, then I got the results because I studied.
Yes.
It's not like because, you get what I mean?
you think that just because you study, you got what you deserve.
Yeah.
So no need to thank God.
Okay, as in, if we say that if we never study, then we cannot blame God.
Yeah.
So if we study, then we also cannot thank God. As
why
in,
not?
Logically, it works like that in my mind.
In your mind.
No, it's a very extreme example, but
it is extreme example.
But
you're right.
But what I'm trying to say is that, like, do you get the like point I'm trying to ask?
Well, let me give you a real example.
Okay.
This is what happens. Right? Now, this is a top student. I won't tell you which faculty. This is the top student, literally. Okay? Top NUS. Now, this person came down there, last part of exam, mentally, she crashed. What makes you think that just because you study, you will not crash? And she crashed. Now, this is a really brilliant student. A-level, straight A's. NUS top student. Okay? And she crashed. Now, I know why. I know this simply because she came to me many years ago. Every day, she was in tears. "I cannot study. I cannot remember. I am scared." if God has sustained you, if God has been holding you in your hands, I would be so thankful that I'm able every day, before I sleep, I thank God for the grace and the strength that sustained me. I do not take for granted that I can be sustained. She crashed. Mercifully, she passed. But I know what it was, for how hard it was for her to pass those exams. You know, to her, it was no longer being top student that mattered to her. She just was so glad she can get through and do well. What's she doing now? She's a professor at NUS. She's not worshipping this church, so you don't know her. I know what it means to be with them, with people like that. So we often take for granted, I study, where's God, where's the credit? No. For those of us who really know God, to us, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the strength of God is something we never take for granted. So it's not as logical as you would think. Yeah. You use the mic.
Hello, okay. Yeah. But there are some people who do very well,
yes,
without that strength,
sure,
and therefore they do not see the need. I'm not saying it's me,
yeah.
I have a few friends like that.
Right, of course.
And they do really, really well.
Sure. Sure. And they do very well, they don't even believe in God.
Yeah,
of
exactly.
Course.
And it seems like they don't have the need to thank God for the things that they,
yeah,
have achieved.
Yeah, sure. I understand.
And because they don't have the need to thank God, it doesn't feel like it's God-given.
Well, it doesn't feel like God-given doesn't mean it's not God-given. You know, what is God-given? One day there was this very, very brilliant scientist. You know, went over to see his friend who was a farmer. And was doing well, you know, in his career and everything else. So he came to his friend, the farmer, and had a good dinner, and he bowed his head in prayer, the farmer friend did, and this guy looked at him and wondering, why you bow your head for? I don't need to thank God. You know, I'm educated. Only farmers like you bow your heads. Oh, the man prayed anyway, and after that went out, you know, for a walk there, and just catching up with old times. They were in school together, but not at university. And then this guy saw his field, and he said, wow, some of the heads were bowed, some of the heads were straight. So he's never seen this before. So he asked the farmer friend, he said, how come some of the heads of the thing are bowed, some of them are floating, you know, the wind blowing, it doesn't get bowed? This is, well, the ones which are full are bowed. The ones which are empty never bow. It's a question of consciousness. It's a question of real great consciousness. To those of us who know God, we bow our heads with sure joy, with thanksgiving. I'm not afraid to bow my head in a hawker center. Let them stare. And they know, wow, these guys. Once I took the church session out for a lunch over in Perth. And as this guy was serving, and so we bow our heads and I led in prayer. And the waiter stood down there and he waited. And then he served. And he said, I'm so glad you all, you know, are thanking God. There is someone to thank for this food we are serving. I think that's how it should be. I think it's really wonderful to be able to do this. right? It's something that we all appreciate. Many, many years ago, there was a man who said, "I had a dream." And so he said, "I have a dream." And he spoke about a dream of one day, how the blacks would be equal to the whites. That dream was finally realized in Barack Obama becoming the first black president. There were many who gave their lives for them to help them find that freedom. You know, sometimes it's only when you go through a lot of these things that you understand what prayer is. It's something to really, really thank God for. And this is a situation where we have people who are one of the greatest black surgeons. It is this man who has operated on Siamese twins, neural surgeon. Time and again, he would say somehow the brain would bleed. You don't know where the bleeding is starting. Again and again, he would just bow his head to God and ask for that special help. And I think those of us who have experienced God's hand in our life, we all recognize God. And so we bow our heads. We recognize that others who do not know God will not. But it does not change the fact that we believe, we continue to believe in God, we continue to bow our heads in thanksgiving, we continue to acknowledge that God is the Lord. Unashamed, unabashed, with absolute certainty, we bow our knees to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? There are so many things that can go wrong in life. So many things. Alright, any other questions you want to raise up? Can I encourage you tonight, please practice this before you sleep. Practice, "I am the Lord." And I want you to, how do you pray like this? Don't say a word. Don't say a word to God. Just let your heart, your mind, your soul be conscious of who God is. "I am the Lord." You know, this was practiced in a prayer meeting of D.L. Moody. And you know, D.L. Moody always tells people, before he goes to a meeting, he will always ask people, "Can I ask that you pray for me?" And in a lot of churches in the U.S., they have a boiler room downstairs because it sends out heat. And they will be there. His prayer meetings are very, very famous for being quiet. So he'll be there leading in prayer. And there was this reporter who came over. He wanted to interview this man. "Who is this man who can barely speak English? And yet when he speaks, 10,000 people will listen to him. And among them will be the top businessmen, there will be top professional people, there will be powerful, rich people there listening to this man." And they want to know why. So there he came with the reporter's staff, you know, with a little notepad, with a pen down there, with hat, and with the overcoats there. Because it was cold. And then he observed, not a word was said. He was wondering, what are you all doing? You're on your knees. And then one man said, "Oh Lord." And then silence. What kind of prayer meeting is that? Well, suddenly he began to put away his pen. He began to take this, put it aside. Then he took off his hat. He realized, "I am in the house of God. How dare I put on my hat?" In America, You do not enter into God's house with a hat on. Not as a man. As a lady, you can. You do not put on your hat. You show no respect. And then he took off his jacket, his overcoat. And then he found himself on his knees. And then he found that his tears were coming. And he cried out, "Oh Lord, I am a sinner and I need to be saved." Not one word was said to him. This is the presence of God. We come to God with all our ideas, telling God what to do. And we just want Him to rubber stamp, "Yeah, God, approved." We have no idea what prayer is, if that's what it is. No, we don't. Practice this. "I am the Lord." What do you know about God? Nothing. Then your prayer must be, "I need to know you." Until our hopes are revived, our faith is stirred, our heart is moved, till then, have we really prayed? Perhaps not. This is why this retreat is planned, organized, so that we will rethink what prayer really is. And it is not about just pouring out whatever we want to say in our heart. There must be a proper regard for God, where He says, "I am the Lord," first and foremost. And then we proceed from there. Okay? Well, think about this. I hope to see you tomorrow. You might not want to come after this. You know, this is stuff. You were hoping for some formula. There are no formulas in prayer. There is no such thing as a formula. Okay? Well, let's pray together before you go. Our Father, we just want to thank you for the challenge to look at the way we should be praying. We speak to you as Father, and yet we dare not and we do not give to you the respect that we should. We ask you to forgive us. We call you Lord, and yet we have little or no regard for who you truly, truly are. Tonight we ask you to help us to rethink, rearrange the way we understand prayer and the practice of it. Teach us how to stand before you, indeed, to kneel before you, to bow our hearts, our heads before you, acknowledging who you are. Teach us to know what it means for you to be Lord of our life. Change the very way we pray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. We'll see you tomorrow, bright and early.